Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We are studying the book of Matthew in this study I've entitled The First Gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 25. A ministry of the ages begins. So far, the Gospel of Matthew has provided much about Jesus. First, his genealogy, demonstrating God's great mercy. Second, Joseph's obedience in accepting his role as Jesus' earthly father. Third, the adventure of the wise men seeking to worship the newborn king. Fourth, the witness of John the Baptist as forerunner of the coming Christ. And then fifth, last time, the testing of Jesus' commitment to the plan of the ages. Matthew will begin to tell the record of Jesus' ministry, but first he must take care of one more preliminary matter. In the narrative of Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 25 that we're looking at, Jesus took steps to establish his earthly ministry. He set up his work in three steps. And let's take a look at those. First of all, Jesus chose his ministry headquarters location. Look at verses 12 down to verse 17. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is important for today's Christians. You go out from a local church to minister. Parish church organ groups are, they're just that. They're beside. They're not the main. Too many today have no accountability as they, quote, seek to follow God's calling. Peter went out from Jerusalem, and Paul from the church at Antioch. The Lord's move to Capernaum in Galilee was fulfillment of prophecy 700 years earlier by Isaiah in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light for the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, to those who sit in darkness from the prison house. The son of Abraham and of David, born in Bethlehem, called out of Egypt, known as a Nazarene. Jesus was also prophesied to be a light to the Gentiles. He positioned his headquarters near the Gentiles." Listen, be where the people are. The trade route of at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. Verse 17 marks the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's the example to preach repentance, not that Jesus fixes all. Are you part of a local church? Are you ministering for the Lord? Are you calling sinners to repentance? This is what Jesus established, and this is what Jesus himself did as our example. Second thing Jesus did after choosing his ministry headquarters location was Jesus chose his ministry team core. Look at verses 18 to 22. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending in nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Key team members. Every leader has a few. This sometimes irritates the rest of the group. Jealousy or envy of those in the inner circle. They're often wrongly referred to as cliques. First, Jesus called Peter and Andrew. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 35, down to verse 42 tells us. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Apparently, some followed Jesus for a while after John's declaration of him, and then returned to fishing. Now they left and joined Jesus. The difference? Before, they simply followed a new leader. Now they're called by the new leader. Then Jesus called James and John. They were also called away from fishing for fish to begin to fish for men. James served until his death as the martyr that began the persecution by King Herod. Jesus has called you from chasing the fish of this world to a life of fishing for sinners that need what only Jesus can provide. Forgiveness of sin and reconciliation to God with the hope of an eternity in heaven. Have you left your worldly nets and followed your Savior and Lord to fish for him? The third thing Jesus did at the beginning here of establishing his ministry was that he chose his ministry focus areas. Look at verse 23, down to verse 25. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Well, let me ask you, what is your ministry calling? What is your passion in serving Jesus? Paul was called to the Gentiles, and Peter to the Jews. Whatever the ministry focus is, we have Jesus' model to follow. A threefold public ministry. First, teaching the Word of God. That's what he did. Romans 16:19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. So teaching God's Word. Preaching the Gospel. I like to often use what's known as the Roman Road, because the scripture passages in presenting the Gospel are from primarily the book of Romans. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. We all have come the same way. Every one of us has rebelled against God. We all have fallen short of what God has called us to. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And that sin, that falling short of God's calling, carries with it a penalty, a deserving wage, if you will. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And that's not simply physically dying, that's death for all of eternity in hell. It continues on and says, but the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. But God wants us not to spend an eternity apart from Him in hell as punishment for sin, but He wants us to spend it with Him in heaven. The free gift of God is eternal life. But it's by Christ Jesus. You see, and why? Because God loves us. John 3:16 tells us that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God gave us Jesus as a demonstration of that love. And how was that demonstrated? Well, Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We needed somebody to pay the penalty for us. God loved us, so He didn't want us to go to hell. So He paid the penalty for us. And He sent Jesus so that we might be forgiven and have eternal life. And we need to, in our conviction that Jesus did die for us in our place, we need to confess that. We need to believe that He died for us and rose from the dead. And with conviction, Romans 10:9-10, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. We won't be condemned to hell. We'll be saved and we'll have eternal life in heaven with God. And all we need to do with that confession and belief is reach out and ask Him to forgive us for eternal life. Romans 10:13. Whoever, or all, who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you? That's what we're called to do. We're called to teach God's Word. And we're called to preach that gospel message, just as I just shared it with you in this session. Healing physical and soul needs. Now, we may not have that miracle-working power to bring healing to people. God reserves that for Himself. He may do it in the course of our ministry. He may use us to pray that
healing may occur. But there are also soul needs where God's word needs to be applied through counseling. These three priorities, teaching God's word, preaching the gospel, and healing physical and soul needs through counseling, are the calling of every Christian. We need to work on the depth of ministry, and God develops the breadth of ministry. Verse 25 again, great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. We work on the depth of our ministry and God's calling, and he will provide the breadth of our ministry. You have a great day.